Would you open up in your Bibles once again, this time to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 16 through 21, but we'll specifically be looking at verse 16 as we hear our message this morning from there. Let us now hear God's holy word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God. So far, our reading in God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Let us pray. O gracious God and merciful Father, so often when we come to verses that are so familiar to us, it can become something that dulls the senses. And so, Lord, would you send your Spirit to renew our hearts, to grasp the depths of your love and the gift that you have given us, as you have given us your Son. And so would you mold and shape our hearts, all who are here this morning, so that we might believe and find eternal life. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, traditionally, Christmas has been celebrated with the giving of gifts. I wonder how many of you have already opened gifts this morning or last night or are anticipating opening those gifts after the celebration today. But we might wonder, why do we celebrate Christmas by giving gifts? We even recently asked our children what Christmas was all about. And of course, being our younger one, and maybe unfortunately, he said, it's about presents. It's about gifts. And so on the one hand, it grieved me to hear this. But on the other hand, it really is about gifts. The gift that God has given to us. We celebrate Christmas by giving gifts because we have been given the greatest gift of all, his Son. Which is that actually it won't be the final. I had originally anticipated having this as the final gift of Advent, but it is that greatest gift of Advent. So children, remember that as you open and play with those gifts you have been given, don't forget that the greatest gift you have received was the Son that was born to you. But let me ask you one more question before we look at this text this morning. What makes a gift so special? What makes you enjoy a gift so much? See, sometimes we receive gifts that aren't very thoughtful. I remember as a young boy, my grandparents every year gave me a tool for Christmas. Now, they had 30-some grandchildren, so they were usually smaller, just one tool, and It was given each year, and I think it started somewhere around the age of 11. And I can remember, why do I need this? It seemed like such a thoughtful gift, a thoughtless gift. I mean, why give me a tool? It's not something I need. It's not something I really could even use at the age of 11. It seemed thoughtless to me. But as those gifts accumulated in some corner, and after a few years, those tools actually became useful. Especially when I went into the electrical industry, I became more thankful for those gifts because they were things I needed. They felt much more thoughtful. And here, as we look at this text this morning, we see that God gives exactly what we need. It is the greatest gift of all because it is the gift of salvation. It is the gift of the Son who brought salvation, for unto us a child is born. Unto us this Son is given. And so we see this morning that God, motivated by His love for the world, sends His only Son that whoever believes in Him might have eternal life. And so we'll look at that motive for the gift. We'll look at the cost of that gift, and we look at the purpose of that gift. The motive for that gift, the cost of that gift, and the purpose of that gift. Let's notice together specifically how this verse starts out and in what context it's been given. For Jesus has been teaching Nicodemus that just as that serpent was raised up in the wilderness, that it was lifted up onto the pole, that whoever saw it, they would be healed of that sickness of being bit by that serpent, by that curse from God Himself. And He said, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up, so that whoever believes in Him should have eternal life. And it's because God loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's how this verse starts off. Because He loved the world, He gave His only Son. Now think if it read this way. For we so loved God that He gave His only Son. Or we were so dedicated to Him and served Him that He gave His only Son. Or that He gave His only Son because He asked for Him. Wouldn't that really take away the heart of this passage? And wouldn't it actually cause despair with those following verses? Because we were born to hate the light and love the darkness. We would never ask for Him, just as those in the wilderness never even asked God for the gifts they needed, but grumbled and complained instead. That those under judgment never asked God for salvation. See, we see the motive for God sending His Son is that He loved the world. As 1 John says in 1 John 4, 8 through 10, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested to us, or children, you might say, revealed to us, shown to us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. See, what motivates God here is His love. Not our works, not our requests, not our desires, but it's rooted and founded in His love. The reason He gives this great gift is merely and foundationally out of His love for the world. And that's the object of His love, the world. What does it mean that He loved the world? Who is this world, you might ask? The word world can be used in many different ways and is used in many different ways throughout John. It can simply mean that it's everything he created, all the matter in the world. In John 1:10, he talks about the world being made through Jesus Christ, the Word. But he often uses it in an ethical sense. He uses it for the place of spiritual darkness, the place that's in the grips of demonic power, the place of unbelief, the place of spiritual blindness, and even the place of people that has that hatred against God. And so one commentator says, it means that the Father, in his love for the human race that he had created, sent his Son so that anyone in spiritual blindness, darkness, and unbelief, in the grip of demonic powers, and who hates God, may believe and be saved. So what does this mean for us? See, God's love is not to be admired because the world is so big, but it's because the world is so bad. Jesus making that amazing step that as he says these words has shocked Nicodemus. Because just think about how Nicodemus would have finished that sentence. That sentence that began with, "For God so loved," he probably would have finished it, "Israel, the Jews." But here Jesus explains that God extends his love to every tribe, nation, and tongue, and he is fulfilling that promise that through the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And he knew that greatest need that we had and filled that need by giving us his Son, who was lifted up. This gift was not given without any thought, but it was before the foundations of the world that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit thought out and well planned this much needed gift of the Son for us. He created the world fully knowing that it would fall. He sent his Son, and the Son agreed and willingly came to earth to suffer his entire life, and especially on the cross, so that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. Here is that free offer of the gospel. Whoever believes in him. No one who believes in him will be turned away. No one who comes to him or finds rest in him will be turned away. He provided the only way of salvation. Do you believe in that name? Do you believe in that name as the only way of salvation? If you do not yet know him, he calls you today to put your trust in him for eternal life. And you need to see there are no preconditions to this, that he so loved the world. But here we also see the cost of that gift. And in it, we see the intensity of God's love for the world. We hear a lot about love in our world. We have several bumper stickers that exclaimed, love wins in our place back in America. And when we talk about love in our world, we often focus on that emotional aspect. Is that what's meant here in John 3:16, that God has this great emotional, mushy-gushy feeling sort of love here? See, God doesn't merely love or feel this love for us, but he shows that love to us through his action, through his gift, through the gift of his Son. And Jesus was that act of love who humbled himself and was born under the law to be obedient to death, even death on the cross, and he did so willingly, giving up those riches and his glory to dwell on the flesh, in the flesh on earth. Children, just think. Imagine that you were transformed into a cockroach. Just think about that. Now, cockroaches are quite disgusted creatures in our home, and often will meet their demise quickly. Think about how shameful that would be to be transformed and brought into the being or existence of a cockroach. But think about Jesus' condescension, his humiliation, as he went from the heavenly places and became veiled in flesh, subjected himself to be mistreated and suffer that punishment for our sin, to be despised and rejected by men, submitting himself to these things. How humiliating that would be. How much worse, you might say, than even becoming a cockroach. Now, we have to be very careful of this analogy, because even though Christ veiled himself in the flesh, as we have just confessed, he remained fully God. But he went from that heavenly throne room of God in all his glory to a dependent child upon his mother, laying in a feeding trough for animals. And he dwelled among men who despised him and rejected him, turned their faces from him, and he willingly suffered at their hands and laid down his life for those who had sinned against him. It hasn't been that long ago since we looked at the life of Abraham. Do you remember that story about how God tested Abraham by calling him to give up and sacrifice his son, his only son, on that sacrificial altar? Isaac, who was that child of promise that they had so longed for and waited for and yearned for. And Isaac, who was the promised child that all the nations would be blessed through him. The anguish that Abraham would have gone through as he plodded along those steps. But we remember the end of the story, don't we? God provided another to take his place. He provided Jesus so that Isaac and any who believe in him would not have to be punished. He provided his own and begotten and unique son to be lifted up on that cross. That's the intensity of God's love. He shows his love through to the world, not by giving a love language that we might give in return, but instead he sent his son while we were yet enemies. And by this we know his love, because he laid down his love for us. But finally, let's look at the purpose of that gift. Jesus says that he came so that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. Now, please don't take this as a political comment, but another pastor used this illustration, and I think it's quite useful. But imagine that throughout Palmerston North, there was this terminal disease that we had experienced. And the Prime Minister decides to send her best doctor with the one and only cure and she announces that that cure can be found in the square on this particular day. And she says to the whole city, whoever comes and gets this cure can find it in this one place with this one doctor. And yet protests begin to arise. And so the newscaster asks, what are you protesting for? And they say, well, we are protesting that this prime minister sends only one cure and one doctor to be cured by. Do you think that would be a fair assessment or a reason to protest? No. This medical assistance is offered to all without exception, that they might be cured, that they might have life. And whoever comes to them will be cured. Anyone who wants their cure can be saved. And that's true for this as well. It's only those who want to be cured of their sin, wants to be cured and have eternal life. And so if you want that cure, you must know that Jesus Christ is the one who is promised, the only Son given, that whoever believes in Him will not be perished, they will not be judged, but they will have eternal life. And He offers this to this grace to all men in common, without any restrictions, without any preconditions. All are invited to come to Him for eternal life. We know that men love darkness. So if you feel, if you know, and you need this, then you have been brought there and drawn there by the Holy Spirit. So receive Him and know Him. Beloved people of God, in conclusion, on Christmas we celebrate that greatest gift given, a gift that meets our greatest need, a gift motivated from His love for all mankind, the gift of Jesus Christ, the only true Son who was born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God and mighty Father, would you soften our hearts that we might know that without Jesus Christ we are doomed to judgment, that without faith we have been judged already. And so may we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you send your Spirit that we may trust Him and Him alone for our salvation. That all other means of joy and satisfaction would be brought to the wayside, to be considered second in compared to that treasure of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. That gift that you have given and offered to all mankind. And so, Lord, we rejoice in this great love that you give on us. And we celebrate that great coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sakes. He who was rich became poor so that we might become rich. And He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might have the righteousness of God. And so, Lord, we give thanks for these things. In His name we pray. Amen.